Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 276. I'm your host, Kevin. With me this week is Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
I can't argue at all. It's been at least a half-decent day. So, yeah, we had some, anytime there's big news in wrestling, it's always a good day for the site. So,
it's a good day. Very, very good day for TNA.
Well,
another 3 years.
Oh, okay. Now I had not seen, is that what they said the time was on it? I didn't feel like I saw a year.
It's a multi-year deal. There's not a lot of details, not even the start date.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it's the standard, I think, it's 3 years for these types of deals, so I'm kind of assuming.
Oh, okay. I am not all that familiar with television deals. Excuse me. So, yeah. Okay, 3 years. You know what they're losing, though, is one in every three household that they're currently in.
Yeah, that could be a problem. Not gonna lie, and it's not like,
well,
it's not like this is a channel that, you know, that even, you know, the per, you know, capita, you know, of potential viewers versus people actually watching are even anywhere close either.
Well, and that's the other thing to me is that at this point, really, you need to be a loyalist to watch any type of programming. Like, I was pretty sure that I had Destination America, but I have never watched a single thing on that station.
No, I haven't. I'm pretty sure I have. I know I haven't. I've, you know, maybe watched a few minutes of one of their silly shows, just passed through the channels. But no, there's nothing I've watched. I don't know if there's anything anyone really watches in any numbers at all on a regular basis.
Well, see, now, and that was something funny that you just brought up. Like, so do you actually still just randomly go through stations? Like, I just put on my guide and I'm like, okay, is there anything on here that I really want to watch? And then if there is, and it's just like, well, there's the DVR to get to.
Right. No,
I honestly haven't flipped in I don't know how many years.
I mean, it's a rarity for me, but occasionally I just like to go old school. I just like to go old school with it. I mean, it's a rarity. It's not a channel that I think a lot of people spend a lot of time on. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out even what this channel really is. It's like, they have just a bunch of, just a mishmash of shows, you know, there's no clear, like, idea, of, you know, concept, you know, of that the station, you know, that's around this station. It's just a bunch of stuff, like, you know, aliens and ghosts and hillbillies doing crazy stuff, and it's just basically derivative of things that are on other networks. There's literally no originality to this network at all.
Yeah, and then you throw in, because I liked how someone compared it to SmackDown being on Sci-Fi, and I do understand the analogy in that sense that it doesn't seem, well, at least Sci-Fi has a theme, unlike these guys.
Exactly. I mean, and SmackDown's obviously the major outlier.
Because you forgot two of the other random things, because you get the mountain monsters haunting, and then buying the bayou, buying Alaska, which is like, you know, that's HGTV kind of territory,
right.
And then Ghost Asylum is kind of a sci-fi thing, and the one last one, I'm like, Barbecue Pitmasters, and I'm like, why are you trying to do Food Network on top of this?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing is, if you want to be, like, a niche channel, you have to serve one niche. Maybe you can even have sub niches beneath that, you know, beneath that niche. But there still has to be a specific niche, like, you know, other in the Discovery Family, you know, ID, you know, all true crime shows, you know, things like that. But this is just stupid. This is a weird thing, and I don't get what they're trying to do here. I don't know if it would be the best fit for TNA. I mean, even if they say that they're gonna get, you know, they're gonna be have the red carpet rolled out for them. They're gonna be, you know, the golden child of this network. They're gonna be the king of the hillbillies.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't. Losing the viewers or the potential viewers is huge. Although, how many million, was it a million people watched it?
I think that their average has been.
Has it been around
1.1? But I think that the Wednesday move may have, you know, they've dipped below a million, you know, multiple times in this since the Wednesday move that people did not, that a lot, at least a small chunk of their viewers did not follow them to.
Yeah.
Which is a very scary thing if they're moving further and further down the dial.
But I guess that's part of my point, though, is that I mean, only a million people watched it. Like, right. Okay, they were in 98. I think Powell's number on ProWrestling.net was 98.7. to 60 million for Destination America. Well, if you only had a million people watching it, I don't know. I mean, I guess I've heard a lot of people saying that they have Destination America, so at least the potential wrestling viewers that I know,
right,
have all kind of said, yes, I do have the potential of watching this. So, you know, I don't think it's... How many of those 1 million, I guess, people are losing it is a bit of a question, too. Like...
Right.
That's
to be determined over time, obviously. You can't know exactly, you know, that's the failure of the entire Nielsen system of, you know, 10,000 people being used as a representative sample of, 100 million.
I guess I didn't, I'm not surprised. I mean, they do bring something of a presence, I guess. I mean, if they can't actually translate those 1 million viewers over, like, I don't know. I guess I didn't look into what they normally do anyway. But I'm gonna guess that a one on Destination America is gonna be nice.
They'll be dancing in the street. Yeah, they'll be dancing in the streets if they have a show that does a million viewers every week.
So I mean, yeah. I guess in that respect, I could see them getting the red carpet rolled out for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of networks out there that, you know, that would kill for a million viewers, but only one of them was seriously interested in making the deal with TNA, though. So once again, this is still not a great time to be in wrestling.
Well, and I think this was something that you brought up too, is that you were mentioning that they don't do too many deals after Thanksgiving. So, I mean, they did this pretty much last minute.
I mean, it came down to the wire. I don't know, it's not said if there were any other serious suitors that came down to the wire. That's probably what would determine whether or not what they actually got for money. If there were, you know, multiple suitors, obviously, that, you know, there was a bidding war, but if there wasn't much of a bidding war,
oh man, okay, you're breaking up a little bit here. You there?
I've just had a little bit of a connection problem.
Okie dokie. So what were you saying there about the households? We were talking about how the households are reached and all that other good stuff. Or Destination America, how 1 million viewers would be good viewing for them.
Oh yeah, it would absolutely be good viewing for them, and I'm assuming that's what they're hoping for.
Oh, and we were that's right. I'm sorry, it was more the bidding war part that we were talking about.
Right. Oh yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, the bidding war part. Yeah, I mean, if there was a bidding war, then they may have come out better than maybe a lot of people expected for money, but we don't know that. We don't know, you know, what the exact particulars of this deal are. It's a very low rated station. I mean, they'd probably be happy with 1 million viewers. I don't know what their advertising situation is. I can't imagine they get that many. With the kind of programming they do, that they get, you know, the higher power advertisers anyway, or, you know, what the economics of their entire business model is and their long-term planning. But obviously they feel that getting into wrestling for them is a good move. If they can get 1 million, I don't know if they can get 1 million. Maybe, a million a week is probably the most optimistic. Probably the most, reasonable, the most likely would probably be, if you're talking about, half the potential audience would be 500 to 700,000 a week.
Oh, yeah. I you would hope that they'd at least do half it
right.
At worst. It was just kind of interesting, and I wanted to pull it up here just to catalog the interest to me, honestly. This TNA page just completely blows. It keeps on giving me all kinds of script errors, so it's going bye-bye. But it was kind of funny. Like, Jeremy was, like, giving me all of these suggestions earlier today, like, what TNA should do. And I just kind of laughed at him, because that's still going to be the problem, is that because they are going to be the big dog on the station, I don't know that they need to listen to anyone. They clearly didn't listen to Spike TV about Vince Russo. That was something I didn't include in my article. I was trying to jam it in there, but it didn't work. But they kind of skirted around Spike TV anyway, Spike TV's wishes. So, I mean, even if Destination America asked for something, what are the chances that they actually follow through and follow it?
That would depend on the, the wording of the contract. I mean, if it says that if we want you to feature, one of our hillbilly stars on your show, and that's in writing, I assume TNA is bringing in some hillbillies.
Well, I guess I don't even mean that stuff. I just mean just better general overall writing. Like, I don't think they're going to have, like, I'm sure guest stars would come on, and TNA would be more than happy to do that.
I don't know how involved the Destination American people are going to be. I mean, I think the Spike people tried to be involved, but were kind of at point shut out. I'm not sure what exactly what the creative direction is going to be, if they're going to hire someone new to run creative for them. I'm not even sure who's been running creative since they started those New York tapings and moved into the Bethlehem, Pennsylvania tapings.
that's just another thing that's killing me, is that tonight is their last show on TV, at least a live show, until they debut whenever on Destination America.
In 2 minutes, probably, and in most 2 months.
Yeah, I would assume there, after the holidays.
Yeah, probably, you know, first or second week in January. I'm almost positive they're going to keep Wednesday as their day because there's no way they're going back to Thursday. And they're probably not going to want to do Friday.
I mean that's just a long time to be off.
Oh, it absolutely is, and there's very little they can do to really promote themselves on this move other than commercials on the channel itself that no one watches. I mean, cause I don't think that these, you know, that they are going to go run about 4 weeks worth of best of shows on Spike. What kind of numbers those are going to draw, I have no idea. I mean, I almost, you know, you can almost snicker about, you know, TNA doing best of anything, but that's what they're going to be doing, you know, for the 4 weeks in December that they have, including Christmas Eve.
Right. Oh, did I lose you again?
Oh, what'd you lose now?
Oh, okay. You're back. That was a much shorter absence, but you're still frozen in my little picture window here. but you're coming through with your voice, so that's okay.
All those months of radio training I had about 15 years ago are coming right through here.
And what the hell were we talking about?
Something about TNA and their
creative direction. Yeah, like I just don't expect anything different out of these goobers at all. That's the main problem. Like, people are kind of in some ways celebrating the contract, but I mean, it just keeps some other form of wrestling on TV. That's really all that it does. Like, and it's not a very good form of wrestling.
No, it's not at all. I, you know, say that I cross my fingers that maybe someone's gonna have some type of a new idea, or even an old idea that at least is something different from the TV that WWE puts on. Which is kind of like I made a crack earlier in our super secret group. That's like these two entities are a perfect match for each other. They both neither of them has their own identity, and they're both just a mishmash of a bunch of other more successful stuff. They're trying to be.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah, this was part of Jeremy's booking, which is what made me laugh at him.
Oh boy!
Start over.
Wait. Is this an exclusive preview of your lunch conversation that's gonna go up tomorrow?
No. This one's not going up. We didn't really jibber jabber about it enough. But I did like his suggestion. Start all over, like Bobby Roode, even though that was the first one I just started laughing about, because I'm like, hold on, didn't they kind of position Roode as the champion so that he would be the new guy, you know, like the face of TNA when they moved to the new network? So it's just like, they're not gonna do that. Like, I mean, I'm not sure I disagree with the sentiment, but, you know, I don't think TNA would have gone through that hassle to put the belt on Bobby Roode, and to really, I mean, they've spent a good amount of time on pushing him, the last couple of months. It's one of the few things that, I guess, quote unquote, they did right. I like Roode a lot. I don't know if he's that
I
guy.
Probably not as a baby face, though. I don't. It's definitely not. He would never be my choice for a lead baby face, ever.
Yeah,
But he's really good. He's good in the ring. He's helped, make Bobby Lashley a good wrestler, which a lot of people probably never thought was ever going to happen.
Yeah,
I was just saying, unfortunately for them, the guy who they were grooming to be probably the top heel when they relaunch EC3 out with an ICEP tear, probably for up to 6 months. So that's gonna be that's not gonna be good for them at all. That's definitely the last thing they needed.
I did not see that news.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least character-wise, he was, I was liking his new character there recently.
Yeah, he's been pretty much, his stuff with Spud has been kind of the highlight of last weeks of TNA, at least the stuff I've, seen, the pieces of stuff I've seen, but that's not going to be, something they're going to be able to feature in their beginning months on Destination America, which... But another interesting part about Destination America is they're going to have additional programming on it. So maybe they're going to have something more akin to what we had growing up, that there will be, the main show in prime time, but then, other shows that are kind of like B shows or recap shows on, on the weekends. The pay-per-view situation, I that's unclear. One thing that was listed in the press release was they're going to get specials. So what does that mean? That TNA is going to officially be out of the pay-per-view business completely, and that they're just going to run like 3 hours on a Sunday on Destination America, which might be an interesting way to do it.
Well, and I guess that's one thing that to me is that. They could have been doing some of this stuff. To me, they could have been doing some of this stuff already. But they weren't doing it. I feel like they could have affected some of these changes prior to now to make them feel more hip and more technology-driven. I'm trying to think of what else I was making fun of today.
Wait, I actually just totally lost the last 30 seconds of what you just said. I don't detect the problems over here. Just as you came back, you're talking about the technical issues. I'm like, that's funny.
Well, no, it was just, they were talking about technology, being part of it. And, well, the additional shows, I kind of made fun of it, I didn't watch those last five episodes of Total Divas. I was just like, man, I just don't wanna. I can't. And I just ended up erasing them eventually. Well, I mean, TNA could potentially have a better reality show, but because their writing is so irresponsible on the main show, I have no faith in their ability to make a reality show entertaining either. You still there? Hello?
No, I did hear the tail end. I was going to respond to the reality show part. you keep kind of freezing up on me, though.
Would it help to do a... Oh, okay. And, okay, we're back from the technical difficulties, which is causing real difficulties in the flow of the conversation.
Yeah. Let's hope we can get this back going, this riveting conversation we were having.
Well, anything involving TNA is always going to be riveting. Well,
Yeah,
and
go
I
over there.
think I was just my point right before we just had our latest problem was like to me, they have the potential. Like, I don't like Total Divas. They have the potential to make something more entertaining than that, but because their wrestling product is so piss poor, I have no faith in anything else that they're gonna try.
I agree. I pretty much agree with that. I'm not sure exactly what you do. I mean, I think I've watched a little bit of it, on YouTube of the deal they do in the UK, the British Boot Camp series. That gets pretty good reviews. I mean, you could definitely do a tough enough style show. That might be the best thing that way that you can approach it. But behind the scenes of the making of a wrestling show,
Oh, okay.
right?
We got another freeze up. We are just not having any luck here tonight. The behind the scenes thing to me would just be one of the more hysterical things ever. Like, I would love to see the idiocy of the TNA writing staff in motion.
Oh, I would too. That would be incredible. I'd love to see it, but I'm fortunately maybe one of only maybe 10, two of only maybe 10,000 people would be interested in seeing a show like that. But maybe it would be an intriguing thing. I mean, I've always thought for a WWE reality show, just follow Vince around. That's the show. Maybe Vince doesn't even know he's being filmed for about 6 months of his life, so he doesn't, play to the camera. He's just Vince. But there's no one in TNA who's a Vince, though.
Oh.
Do you really want a Dixie Carter reality
No.
Who TNA would be a really interesting character to follow around?
I'd
Other than driving around with Kurt Angle about a year ago, clean and sober, I'm sure.
Bully Ray, but although that was the other thing that I completely forgot about that Jeremy brought up too, like, and maybe he brought it up yesterday, but Bully Ray isn't there anymore.
Was he listed in the press release? I think he wasn't he?
Oh, I don't know. I had to shut that down because that page kept on giving me shit.
Right.
So, screw TNA. Their website
Yeah.
blows. So, yeah, that's another reason why I don't like them. Their website blows on top of it. I have no such problems on WWE.com.
No. Oh, yeah, the WWE.com is an amazingly well put together website. Yes, TNA's not so much. I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean there is definitely
it's hard to find.
questionable graphic problems on WWE's website, but functionality wise, I'm not gonna argue. Those
Right, no,
portraits of
no.
all the WWE wrestlers, just they kill me every time I go to look at the roster. I laugh.
I love all that alumni section is just the best thing in the world. You could just make going in alphabetical order, left and right. You can just make the craziest Survivor Series teams out of that.
Oh, I've never looked in the alumni section on the WWE's website.
I don't know if it's the website's the best one. Do it on the app. It's hilarious on the app because when you swipe through it and it's all in alphabetical order, so you've got like. The Great Khali standing next to Goldberg and things of that nature. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I swear I saw something like that earlier this week. But well, yeah, screw it. I mean, have we said enough about TNA really at this point? You mentioned
Just
Survivor
one
Series.
clarification. One clarification: Bully Ray was not listed in the press release, so no, he is not anything
Oh.
with this company as of yet.
Gotcha. So, okay. So yeah, I mean that's just another star. Like they really don't have a lot of people to build around either. Like it's just I didn't realize about EC3, but even then, like I mean I know why it's still even at this point with his improved performances, I understand why the WWE let go of him. Like, I mean, he's not anywhere near, a Bray Wyatt or a Dean Ambrose or Roman Reigns, in terms of anything.
No, and very few people in TNA are. There's a reason a lot of them are in TNA or have been in TNA for a while. They are missing something. I can't even watch. I can't even watch. Not that we keep get going on TNA for too long, but I can't even watch James Storm anymore and his, his low rent Bray Wyatt impersonation that just came out of nowhere. Had nothing to do with his character ever before. Somehow he became a backwoods cult leader. I'm not even sure what. I don't even remember what the transition was at all. That was once
There
prior to
was no
signing.
transition. He kind of came back from a from an injury, and it was just he kind of started to do that stuff, and it's
Right.
just such a weird and I can't believe I was gonna use the word menagerie of people.
Does have a menagerie.
Yeah, I mean
Natural.
it isn't wrong actually to call it a menagerie because Abyss has nothing to do with any of the three. The Great Sonata has nothing to do with the other three guys, except for maybe the fact that him and Manic are both X Division wrestlers.
Right, yeah, it's a pretty
That
just a just a weird, wacky stable of guys. That's just they have no reason to be together. Storm isn't convincing to me as someone who can brainwash someone. It's TNA.
Yeah.
It's TNA.
Well, and I said it last week in my review for them. I couldn't believe that the leader of a cult was going after the tag team titles himself. Like, who does that? As the leader of a group. Aside from no one in the history of ever.
Right.
I was just dumbfounded. Like, unless you argue that the Freebirds were doing that, I guess maybe I could go modern era. Like, what group, the head guy was always the guy going after the title. Like, that's just the way it
Right.
is. And James, they badly need someone up there. And even though I think the gimmicks, low rent and everything, they need someone else there. And he's one of the few people that can at least wrestle a match, still. Even if his character doesn't make a goddamn lick of sense.
Right. Yeah, they definitely need people. We'll see what they do. I mean, I don't believe these last weeks of TV are really setting them up for anything significant. They didn't even know for months whether that they were even whether they were going to be able to continue. They've got a good solid guy as their champion. They've got the weird team of, I believe, Storm and Abyss, who are going to be the tag team champions together, and
Oh,
Loki ends up
well, and
adding.
the X Division title is vacant currently
Well,
because
no, and that was a whole weird thing. Joe has to be is forced to hand over the title due to injury. Loki ends up winning it in a four-way match, but then, Joe back wrestling legitimately in less than 30 days. It's a weird thing. We'll see how they cleared up when they get on their new station. There's not much more we can say about this right now.
Yeah, well, that's why I was ready to kind of, I mean, I guess I was only kind of, how was I comparing it to the WWE and we got to talking about Survivor Series? Oh, the whole roster, the webpage sucking. That's how it all started. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Survivor Series, and that's Sunday, and I mean, we're far enough away from Raw that I guess I don't feel like we need to necessarily do a review, technically, of Raw.
Right, yeah, everyone on the internet's done that already in the last 48 hours, so we can talk more general about what WWE and, you know, what they've done, what they're doing, and where they're headed.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, they concentrated on the main storyline going into Survivor Series. Well, the two main stories, which is the elimination match and Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt on Raw. Yep. But
Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt, a distant second.
Yes. But it has been on TV, so... It's hard to argue. Yeah, it's a distant second. But, man, they keep on pushing the free network this month. And I don't, like, a lot of times I think that bad shows on paper end up being very good shows, like, we end up watching them. And there are 10 capable wrestlers in the main event.
Yeah, about you know, I mean, obviously a lot of big guys in the match who need to be protected in many different ways. You know, Rowan is still no great shakes. Ryback is still limited, and they absolutely pushed him to his limit on Monday in a way that I don't think that they should have. You know, it's one of those situations. I'm on a little sidebar here. That match between Ryback and Cesaro, on some level, maybe it was a good big man match, but at this point, it just wasn't the right thing for Ryback to be doing. It's one of those things where just because you can do something, maybe doesn't mean you should be doing something. You know, Ryback going, you know, basically working a match with a mid-carder where the mid-carder, you know, takes, you know, 75% of the match, you know, a 14-minute match, that was not best for business. For what Ryback is.
Yeah, that's the one thing that was kind of weird to me, especially with the way Cesaro is being treated recently. Like, you're trying to build up this guy is the ultimate game changer for the Survivor Series match. And you have him, you know, down for almost the, you know, 10, probably 10 of the 14 minutes of the match.
Right, yeah. That was really weird. I mean, they're seeming to be pushing him as the key, you know, the key guy going into Survivor Series even more than Cena. It's looking like, you know, they're going to go in the direction of it. Probably, I wouldn't say at, you know, sometime either at TLC or at Royal Rumble. You know, looks like they're teasing Ryback versus Triple H as a match. So it was a weird thing that, you know, if, you know, the end game for this Ryback character is a match with Triple H, for they'll have him, you know, have him in a match like that with Cesaro was just really weird to me, and I yeah, I mean, I know that there's people who, you know, they considered it a good match, but, you know, this is where the inside fan part, you know, part ruins it for me. I just couldn't help but, you know, be shaking my head at, you know, at the stupidity of, you know, putting Ryback in this position.
Oh, I was far too annoyed at the announcers to be worried about that part of the equation. Just because they in no way paid attention to the match prior to the last 2 minutes of it.
Oh yeah, right. It just went way too long. There was
I like the match itself, the match proper. If you can take that, if you could somehow take the commentary away, that really would have helped my enjoyment level.
Right.
I guess that's what I was trying to say. It seemed like the way you were going was kind of a different interpretation. I guess I wanted to be really clear.
Right.
The announcing was so bad during that match, because I'm trying to think of what they were just bickering about the, they finally wondered whether someone else would be in charge. Like, I don't know why, that's one of those things that is just dumbfounding, that the heel part of it is, John Cena is going to be running the show. It's just like, hold on, like, why? And Jeremy was talking about this too, and I talked about it in the column too. The weird convenient use of history, like, for whatever reason, the WWE board doesn't exist in this, on this show right now.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Triple H and Stephanie have, for really no, they just took over. There really was no transition from Vince at all. There was nothing about the board or anything of that nature. The only time the board was ever brought up was when Big Show threatened his lawsuit, and then gave up a $100 million lawsuit for one match with Randy Orton that he lost, and then maybe he finally remembered that this past week when he was talking to Stephanie. I don't know. Oh wow, last year's Survivor Series was one of the worst shows ever.
Just because there's this weird angle running, that's what concerns me about that match. It's just some weirdness going on. So, like, no matter what comes out of it, whether it's, having a new authority and just sitting there going, oh, crap, this all over again. Like, if it ends up being someone who's bad.
Right. I'm not sure exactly where this is going to go. Obviously, the authority has pretty much run its course. We definitely need to go in a different direction there. the whole authority figure, omnipotent authority figure who was in, 20 segments on a 16-segment show... that ran its course. That's been stale for quite a while. I would almost like to go back to something more simple, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that, whether it's someone like a Ric Flair or Mick Foley, if the baby faces win, and it's not going to be there's not going to be a baby face authority figure. It would be someone like said Foley or Flair or whoever. Making life hell for the heels for a little while. I guess at the very least, it'd be a change of pace.
I keep on hoping that they would be smart enough to just go, screw it, we're done. We're just doing that, behind the scenes GM that just kind of comes in and everything's run the way it's run, and, that's
right,
it.
Yeah.
But I just don't see them ever doing it. Because the baby face thing doesn't really make all that much sense for them to really be punishing them, but the heels, and it kind of makes you look like a heel anyway when you start doing that.
Right. Yeah, I don't know exactly what to say about it. It's just, I don't feel like there's that high of stakes here. I don't think they're going to change that drastically. maybe I hope I'm wrong, you know, and that, you know, that, you know, Survivor Series is a good show, something major happens coming out of it, and, you know, Raw really, you know, the Raw the next night really starts to set the tone and the, in a path towards WrestleMania. That would be great, but I don't know if that's what's going to happen. I mean, we shall see. Once again, I mean, I can't say I'm overly excited about this show at all, though.
No, yeah, I don't feel like, and that's kind of been one of the problems, is they've had maybe 4 weeks to try and build up this, you know, titanic change.
Right, and they really haven't, but then in Triple H's words and Cena's words in the commentary in the last week, they tried to force it. Biggest match of all time, biggest Survivor Series match of all time, biggest contract signing in the history of Raw. It's like, no one believes that.
Yeah, it's been the last 2 weeks that they've been selling it on TV, but it's just like, honestly, you like started this, like, there wasn't any build-up to this explosion at all.
Right. There's never been a build-up and explosion between Cena and the Authority.
Yeah, they've just...
It would make sense if it was Daniel Bryan in them. And that's kind of the thing, since Bryan's been injured, they've inserted Cena in spots that, you know, where it would have made sense for Bryan to be in, and it's never worked. It's never felt like John Cena is not the man who is, people believe, is fighting against the Authority.
Yeah, and they've kind of made it a point, honestly, to at least acknowledge each other in the past, but kind of, go their own way also. You know, right, exactly. 'Cause he's had interactions with them, because it really would have been odd for him to be around and for them to never interact.
Oh, yeah. They've interacted, but it's never felt like it was this war.
Right.
Between him and Triple H. And even now, once again, it seems like the heat's transferring to Ryback, as Ryback's the guy Triple H is actually going to, you know, step back in the ring and have it in the not-too-distant future instead of Cena. Who's, you know, Cena's obviously on his collision course back with Brock in the next, you know, month or two. I assume Royal Rumble, although maybe it could be TLC, depending on what the deal with Brock is.
Oh. Oh, man. Okay, well, I don't know. I don't think there's anything else, I guess, to address with that match in particular. I mean, since it's a... Go ahead.
I mean, I'm kind of interested to see, what the process of elimination is in this match. I mean, I imagine they're going to have to use a DQ or a countout to get Rusev out. I don't know if they're going to want to protect anyone else, other people in the match with double DQs, double countouts, things of that nature. It's probably going to be a long match. I can see Ziggler going out first.
Oh, yeah, he's going out pretty early.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, just when he finally gets a nice dressing down from Triple H, he loses his IC title, and he's going to be one of the earlier guys out.
Said right. When he was burying him. Isn't that great? Isn't that how wrestling's supposed to be?
Yeah, it's praising him through burying him.
Right. And then burying him again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a lot of digging to do, but, Triple H, he's ready to do it.
He's got the shovel. He's the man with the shovel.
Yep, there's a reason he still works out. I guess, do you think that it's going to be the dawning of a quote-unquote new era? Or is it just going to be the continuation of the authority? And that... Oh, okay, go ahead.
I think it'll be somewhere in the middle. I don't think that we're going to have... I don't believe that, you know, we're just going to be hit... You know, it's going to be, you know, some, you know, major events happening on Sunday, and then, you know, Monday really starts, you know, driving. Maybe it will happen, but I think it's going to be more in the middle. I gotta get a feeling, like, I mentioned this, and I don't know if you've heard it yet, but they have made a new stipulation that if Cena's team loses, they're all fired.
Oh. What?
This happens on SmackDown.
I saw that there was a major stipulation, and I didn't click on it.
Well, you care.
That's...
They really made you care about this match. You couldn't even click on a link.
Well, A, it's one of those things that I'll just wait for SmackDown to, you know, to get the news. Like, I don't need to see the news twice, I guess. And the other thing is that all that does is tell me that Team Cena's winning. Because that was another point that I was just going to make. Like, they kept on saying how they were going to make Team Cena's life hell if they lost the match. I'm like, it's already happening before the match, and it's happened for most of these guys most of their careers. Like, why are they think things are going to be any different? Like, Dolph Ziggler's been kicked while he's down more times than I can count.
Ziggler and Big Show have been targets of the Authority since they started the angle. There's not much more you can do. There really isn't much more you can do to Big Show, although they don't really bring any of that up anymore because they went too far with that.
Well, I mean, they did. Stephanie did mention that stuff in passing, at least.
Yeah. I mean, even without the stip, you know, I see this being the end of the Authority. What leads to it instead, you know, as far as what, you know, the direction of WWE going into WrestleMania, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I hope it's something good. I don't think that it's going to be, I don't think it'll be something as strong as, you know, saying a new era has dawned or a new day, but it'll be more than the same old crap. I think that there will be changes. I think that Cena's team is winning. There will be a new authority figure, some form of new authority figure. You know, Triple H may start wrestling more and, you know, trying to get his, you know, power back. That's another thing I brought up a couple times about, you know, looks like they're, you know, veering in the direction of Triple H versus Ryback. I think they've almost already mentally, you know, moved on from this show, and they're gonna start, you know. You know, they've already kind of in their heads started building to the show that, you know, next month that they actually expect people to pay for.
Yeah, that is the other weird thing. Like, I don't know how many extra viewers they're going to get just because it's free.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Once again, there's a whole thing that if people don't feel something is important, it's not even about money. It's the time. It's the 3 hours of their life that they won't want to invest. The time it takes to actually register an account with WWE.com and figure out how to use this newfangled technology. I mean, I don't know if this is the show that even free, I don't know if they can hit 900,000 to a million in the month of November.
Yeah, because what, are they at 750,000?
Yeah.
Essentially. So yeah, I mean, you don't really need that many people to get the 1 million viewers, but I mean, I don't think they're gonna get there.
I don't think so either. I just, again, they have not put their best foot forward this at all. Maybe they think they have. Maybe they, you know, once again, it's a very McMahon-centric storyline. So once again, the McMahons think the whole world revolves around them. Everyone's, you know, so interested in their soap opera. I mean, they do think that this is, you know, the best thing that they could be doing, but it really hasn't been. Yeah, as I said, it's not about price. People just want to feel like their investment and their time is worth it. And after, you know, 5 hours during the week and all the hours that they've watched in the build-up to the show, is that what they want to do with their Sunday night? I'm not sure about that one.
Not really. But you know what? I will be.
Yeah, and I will be too.
I don't know if I'll get to it. It's always a little dicey on Sundays if I get to it actually at 8 on the button, but we'll see what happens. I try to make that extra effort and on pay-per-view days to yeah. Start up a column for that.
There's no commercials to skip through on pay-per-view day, and you probably shouldn't be skipping through any matches if you're unless it's that eight diva tag that's been added now. Elimination.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, what other matches do we have? I know that there's Dean against Bray and AJ against Nikki.
Yeah, Dean against Bray is interesting to me because it seems too early in the feud to have any kind of a definite finish in the match, but there's just been so many crap finishes, especially in Dean Ambrose matches of late, that it's just like you almost want to give people a finish, especially if there's going to be a couple of disqualifications and countouts in the main event. You really want to have a schmoz ending it to that match, although it does kind of make sense to do a schmoz in Ambrose Wyatt so that they go to a gimmick match next month. But I expect a good match there.
Right.
I guess if one I hang over the other, I'd say it's probably Ambrose. Who could use the win more?
Well, see, and then that's my problem with that whole situation. Like, to me, they're back. I think that they do have to go with some screwball ending because, again, they've kind of, because they have no one is a stepping stool, they're using Wyatt and Ambrose against each other entirely too soon. Like, Wyatt's done nothing but lose, essentially, aside from beating Chris Jericho, which everyone's forgotten about already, because right after he beat Chris Jericho, he was off TV for a month for whatever reason.
For repackaging to come back and start doing the same thing all over again, the speaking, it's everything we talked about during the Jericho feud. The speaking in riddles, the lack of clear motivation, the art house, verbiage with no real soul behind it. He's definitely fallen back into that trap in 4 weeks' time.
Well, I don't even think falling back in, like, they may have been planning on repackaging, but all they've just done is taken away his sidekicks.
Yeah, that was probably not a good move for Wyatt, maybe for Rowan, we'll see. Harper can probably stand on his own, and I'm sure, and I know Jeremy Mays agrees with that.
Yeah, well, that was the reason why we did lead off with that one. It has been pretty crazy to go from seeing him in some shithole bar up in Cleveland. Actually, he got escorted out so that him and Kevin Nash didn't get in a fight, quote unquote.
Oh, really? Let's share this story now.
Yeah, well, back when Pro Wrestling Ohio was running their shows there, and I don't know if it had changed to Prime Wrestling quite at that point or not, but it was the one that our good buddy Dan Keister came to, and Kevin Nash was involved in the main event, and they did a signing up in Cleveland. Well, it was, because it was a tag match. Aaron Draven and Kevin Nash were taking on Brody Lee, which was Luke Harper's name at the time. And I'm trying to think of the other bad guy that was with him, because he was managed by Stunt Granny site favorite Aaron Maguire. But after the sign, after Nash had done the or before Nash did the signing, Brody Lee showed up and tried to start a fight with Kevin Nash.
Oh, you mean a work? Okay. I thought you meant something. I thought you meant like shoot. Okay.
No, this was not a shoot at all. This it was
Okay.
it was all work.
Intrigued me there.
All work. It, but I mean, it still was funny to just kind of, see it in that kind of environment,
Yeah,
and then
that always comes off so poor when they try to do it in that kind of environment.
well, I
Either
mean.
keep the wrestlers away from the fans and the public, or just run it as a fan meet and greet without any gimmicks.
Yeah, well, and that was kind of the funny thing is that he was the only one who got thrown out, and everybody else was there. Even the other guys that were heels were just kind of hanging out. So
Right.
that was the only part that they did they were working on. But yeah, I mean, I do think that he can hold up. Like, I'm really. I guess in a lot of ways I'm not surprised. He didn't do a whole lot of talking, but he doesn't seem to have any problems doing that either.
Right, no. Yeah, he can be, I think he'll be very good. Unfortunate that Intercontinental title has been like a curse to his whoever held it in the last few years, so hopefully that doesn't happen to him. But otherwise, he's got something good for him. Of the three, he might actually have the most upside. He probably does have the most upside of the three, because Bray has not been able to grow his character in the last since the Cena feud, essentially.
Yeah. The
And
only
I
thing
guess.
working against Harper is he's the oldest out of the three.
Oh, right. But and actually, I don't know about Rowan. Actually, Rowan's actually been around quite a while.
Yeah, I think he's the
Looking forward
next.
to him.
I think it's Harper is like 32, Rowan's like 30, and Wyatt's like 26 or something like that.
Yeah,
Last I remembered looking at that, like it's something in that age range. They might be bumped up all a year or something.
I mean, Rowan has improved, but the improvements he showed were in teaming with Harper in tag matches against the Usos. So it was almost hard to have a bad match in that situation. I guess obviously Sunday is going to be a big test for him if he starts working more one-on-one matches. If they go with him versus Harper as an Intercontinental title feud, it'll definitely be something that's one to watch,
Yeah. He is more of a wild card. I like Bray in the ring, but and I forgot you did bring up the one other match, the 4 team tag match.
Yeah, there's a 4-team tag match for the tag titles.
Yeah, and that's elimination too, I believe.
I don't think that was an elimination, but it probably should be, because they're gonna need to stretch this card out a little with time and the undercard probably.
And I'd be perfectly fine with that. Like, I could have El Torito put to pasture, but I've never had a problem. Like, Primo and Epico are good wrestlers. I don't care what their names are now, Diego and Fernando, I guess. Like, I mean, they're not great, but I mean, I don't think they're disasters in the ring either.
I think every one of the matches good at what they do. Miz is probably the worst guy in the match, but he's got the gimmick with Mizdow, which is crazy over right now. So that'll, you know, you got pretty much everyone else in the match bringing the work, and then, you know, Miz and Mizdow are gonna, bring their comedy that's actually funny in today's WWE to the match. I see that being probably a really good opener, if I gotta guess.
Right. I would think so. I mean, those are the only four matches that I can think of, unless they've... I mean, I'm sure they'll add...
They added a Divas Survivor Series elimination match with, I think it's... I'm going to see if I can do this off the top of my head. It is Paige, Summer, Layla, and...
I'm not even bothering to look it up.
Fourth heel girl, Cameron, against Natty, Naomi, Alicia Fox, and I think Emma. In an elimination match that's been added to the show.
Great. Okay. Moving along.
And I can see them adding something with Adam Rose and the Bunny as well. That's not official, but I can see that being added to the show because it's been given time on all three shows, so you might as... I guess you might as well put on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about the bunny humping Adam Rose?
No. No. I was looking for an out to this show since we've now gone over the number that we like to go over. So... Okay. I'm going to make like a rabbit and go down a hole.
It is hump day. Still for another half an hour.
Okie doke. Well, I guess before I go down the hole, what? At Stunt Granny, at Chris Calla Media, which is MIDIA, and at DeFrango 11. Well, yeah. Have a good night, grandkids. And, Chris, if you want to do the official send-off, have at it.
See you, kids.